What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you so much for tuning in to the Big Honker Podcast. Hopefully everybody's made it through hunting season in one piece. We are now into the off season. This podcast is brought to you by none other than Double T British Kennels. Mr. Corey has got some of the finest Brit Labs out there that are on the market today. You can go to his website at britlabs.com and get in contact with him there.
Buy you a pet and a working dog all together at the same spot. Great package. Logan, who works for us, he's got a dog, Delta, perfect pet, perfect hunting dog. Go to britlabs.com.
That's all you got to do. Also, we're brought to you by Hemp Hill Farm. Getting old, you get some ouchies every once in a while. There's a promo code, BHP. It will save you 20% off of checkout. They also have a way you can save 30% on your first order. CBD is the way to go. Hemp Hill Farm is naturally derived CBD. It's all organic. Taking care of all of my growing pains.
Right, Jeff. Now, they've got a gummy sale, 20% off plus free shipping.
Can't beat it.
Nope. It's hemphillfarm.com. Farm is spelled PHARM.com. I take a gummy every night for bed. Helps me sleep good. Do not wake up with a hangover. I take one about 10 o'clock. I go to bed about 10:30. Usually about 6 o'clock in the morning, I roll out of bed and I feel fine. One other thing too. I have plantar fasciitis in both feet, both my feet. I tore both of my Achilles in my younger years. It's a side effect of it. When it does bother me, it doesn't very often. I take the salve or the roll-on and put it on. It automatically wipes it out. At Turkey, he brung some to Turkey for us at all. Stood on concrete for 3 straight days. Walked 10,000 steps a day. Oh, knees get a little ouchy and stuff. They got me a new blood pressure medicine. Put that stuff, rub it on my knees and joints. Feel like a million. Feel like a 22-year-old after I do that stuff. Works perfect. Good.
Hemphillfarm.com. Next, we're brought to you by Lucky Duck. Listen, they've got a lot of products. It's predator season now. You know, people are going after coyotes and bobcats. Shoot and raccoons. You know, Lucky Duck has something for everybody. They've got kennels out there. They're 5-star crash test rated kennels. You can put it in the back of your truck and strap your dog down and not have to worry about what's going to happen to him in the event of an accident. Obviously, everybody knows about their waterfowl line. They've got the best A-frames on the market, the 2x4 blind. They're a one-stop shop. I mean, they've got everything. They've got e-collars, they've got kennels, they've got motion decoys. We ran their rotary system a couple times last year. They've also got some new products that are going to come out later in the spring and summer. So check them out at luckyduck.com. They got a turkey line out there now. I mean, they've got all sorts of stuff. So just head over to luckyduck.com, whatever you're looking for. They have something for you. That is at luckyduck.com. Next, we are brought to you by Dirty Duck Coffee. If your coffee sucks, it is not the duck. They are growing and expanding. They've got some of the best coffee that you'll ever drink. Morning Wood, Sun's Up, Guns Up, First Flight. It goes on and on. Missouri Boat Ride Blend. You can subscribe. You can get coffee shipped straight to your door. You can figure out the delivery, how often you need your coffee delivered, and you can save a little bit of money if you subscribe to their loyalty program. DirtyDuckCoffee.com. They've got amazing looking swag. Saw some of it at NWTF. Jay and Buck are great guys. They're on a whole tour with all the hunting shows coming up. So if you want to get your hands on it and try a couple different blends before you buy something, if you have a hunting show, big hunting show coming up, I'm sure they'll be there.
Check them out at DirtyDuckCoffee.com. Look for them in the East, on the East Coast. They're going to start being in Food Lion grocery stores, a few of them. So anyways, check them out at DirtyDuckCoffee.com. Best swag in the market. Great coffee. It's all we drink here at the Big Honker Lodge.
Next, we're brought to you by Shin Gear. My goodness, they had an incredible booth at NWTF. It was packed the entire time. I tried to go by and talk to them and loaded with people. They're kind of tinkering with some of their wader products. They've got the 2S system that's coming out. It's got 2 seams on it instead of 7, I believe. You know, if anything is going to go wrong on a wader, it's usually at the seam. So they're cutting down the number of seams on their new waders. The jack shirt's out. Bibs are out. I wear the bibs every single day here. Waterproof, windproof. It's all you need. Shin Gear, I'm telling you, they are the way to go.
The scout boot I wear every single day during hunting season. Every day. They got a brand new. They got tons of colors. Fixing to get me some gray ones. I love them. They're great. I'm telling you right now, if you wear anything outside in your garden or nothing, even with shorts, you can put them on. They slip on. They're comfortable. It's the way to go. Shingear.com.
Next, we are brought to you by Boss Shot Shells. Bismuth is the way to go. Copper-plated bismuth. Turkey season's coming up. They've got all of their turkey stuff ready to ship to your door. It's all TSS. I shoot 9s. That's what I shoot. I like a lot of pellets. In my mind, you send a hornet's nest out to them, the flop starts. So They've got War Chief. They've got their Legacy line and Waterfowl. They've got Boss Tom. The gear is amazing. Call the shop if you want any of the gear. Phone number is on their website, BossShotShells.com. We're proud to be associated with them.
Yes, On the Road with Boss. Jeff and Andy comes out in March 18th, I believe.
March 18th.
Check them out at BossShotShells.com. Thank you very much.
Next, we're brought to you by Pacific Custom Calls. Pacific Calls and Post Falls, Idaho. Anything you need. Waterfowl, geese, ducks, turkey. They've got a call for it. You know, great guys up there at Pacific Calls. They had a hell of a show at Portland. They're retooling a lot of the stuff. The PCD duck call has undergone a transformation, making it more versatile for more people to get their hands on and feel comfortable with the call. They also have the Turkey Rodeo. It is going to be April 20th, Post Falls, Idaho. They're having a big shindig up there. Bring your turkey, biggest turkey with weight, spurs, beard. Combine those. Biggest turkey will win $1,000 and a belt buckle. So they got a lot of cool things going on with Pacific Calls. Check them out, PacificCustomCalls.com. We have a promo code with them, BHP25, 25% off your order. Not going to find a better deal than that. Next, we're brought to you by Dive Bomb Industries, the leader in silhouettes, Silla socks. They are great. That's what we use out here every single day. It's easy to throw out a big spread with Dive Bomb. You can throw out 50 dozen and it's not a big deal. They got a floater line out. They got some full bodies out there now for snow geese. And that's all going on right now. Squad Fest is going to be July 19th and 20th, the 3rd or 4th. I can't remember. I think 4th. So it's coming up. Make plans to be in St. Louis around that time. Great guys and hard workers. They're always ahead of the curve.
Going to be a good time. Can't wait to see you there. Come by and see us. Andy will sign some titties.
Yeah.
Divebombindustries.com.
Next, we're brought to you by the Looking Glass Podcast. Head over to their Patreon account. Get signed up. Logan and Rebel, they put out a hell of a show. They got a bourbon review, and they're just great guys to listen to. The big sultry voice of Logan Pyatt.
The bourbon review is worth it alone. If you're a bourbon drinker, these guys, they talk about it. They know their bourbons. Professional drinkers, basically. Looking Glass Podcast on Patreon.
Next, MLR Graphics. Baseball season's coming up. You're going to need jerseys. MLR Graphics in Breckenridge, Texas can hook you up. If you head over to their website, mlrgraphics.com, you can get in contact with them. Whatever you need, shirts, hats, they can do it all there in the great city of Breckenridge, Texas.
They do all of the stuff for the Big Honker Lodge. So anything that's got a Stanfield or a BHP logo on it is done by MLR Graphics. Holler at Michael at mlrgraphics.com.
Next, we are brought to you by Ducks Unlimited. There is not an organization that is doing more on behalf of waterfowl hunters. They are putting ducks back into the sky. They are the leader in wetland conservation. Figure out a way to get involved with them. Either start a chapter, join a chapter. Your money gets put to work to put more ducks into the ecosystem for us.
And they will be having a ducks, I guess it'd be a ducks event next year. There's not one this spring. Right. Spring of 2025, being Memphis, Tennessee, will be a big convention. Will be a really good time. Look forward to seeing y'all there.
Next, we're brought to you by Alpha Outdoor Specialties, maker of the Stanfield stool. Save my back all last hunting season. Nice chair, sets out in the A-frame. You can sit up, you can sit back, you can lean back, you can swivel. It's a perfect way to spend a morning in an A-frame. No more bucket butt for me. You can find it at alphaoutdoorspecialties.com along with all their other stuff. They've got a blind caddy. You can keep your coffee up there, your shotgun shelves. You can even hang a heater buddy if you need to. They are an innovative company. So Alpha Outdoor Specialties, if you need a Stanfield stool or a blind caddy. Next, we're brought to you by Mossberg. Don't sleep on the 940 waterfowl gun. That's what we shoot out here. Oh, everything's oversized. Listen, it's cold out there. Your fingers get cold. You need big things. The charging handle is bigger. The safety's easy to get to. The 940, it's a very, very good gun. It's what we use every single day. In the blind, whenever we get to shoot, they've also got rifles. They've got all sorts of stuff. Competition guns, handguns, whatever you need to take down, you can be shooting a Mossberg. Mossberg.com.
They also are great stewards for the youth. They give us guns every year for the Gold Star Hunt, which we will have the first weekend in November or first weekend in October up here. Thank you so much, Mossberg, for reaching out and doing so much for the Gold Star kids in the military. That's Mossberg.com.
Last but not least, it is Stanfield Hunting Outfitters. You can come out here and spend time with us. Dove season will be here in just a couple short months. We got a couple openings for that.
Yes, I've got some weekday hunts during the weekdays open. I don't have a lot of weekends open. I think I got the, I may be able to do one group of eight on first weekend, which is the 8th, I believe. And then the second weekend, the 15th, I've got one group opening for 8 to 12. And that's it for the weekends. And then weekdays, we can do a private group for 20 people. Anyways, that's at stanfieldhunting.com, 940-658-3172. And if you call, Jeff will answer the phone. If not, leave a message and I'll call you back. Thank y'all for listening to the Big Honker podcast. We appreciate it. God bless y'all. Get ready March 18th. You'll start seeing the first series drop on the Road with the Boss, hosted by Jeff and Andy. Thank you. Peace out. Bye.
Love you. Bye. Watch for deer. All right. This episode of the podcast, we are joined by Austin Stewart. He is a taxidermist outdoorsman, and he also came into a little bit of money. He won the Powerball. He won $150,000 from the Powerball, and cool dude. Enjoy this episode. Here he is, Austin Stewart.
Welcome to the Big Honker Podcast, brought to you by Hemp Hill Farms. I'm Jeff Stanfield with the world famous Andy Shaver.
I'm still giving Lou the pet CBD, but half. Just, you know.
I take a CBD gummy every night.
Oh, well.
I sleep good.
No. I mean, he doesn't. He's a dog, so he obviously doesn't have problems sleeping. But, you know, I'm starting to hear more of the old man groans from him. So I can alleviate it.
I was asked today if you'd got a new puppy yet.
I have not.
I said, no. I said, Andy's going to go till the bitter end.
I'm going to ride it. He deserves it. He's earned me. I would feel like a big piece of shit. Say he, you know, lives another 3 years.
I understand. You don't want him to be sitting at home while you're hunting another dog.
Right.
I get that part, the loyalty part.
He's earned that.
I can't wait for you to walk in here at 38 years old and think, God dang, I wish I had a fucking dog.
Just send me with the young guide. We'll have a new kid. Well, you know, he can walk out. I don't give a shit.
Corey would bring a dog up here for you to use for a season.
No, I know. I've got options, but.
You're going to let go. How old's Lou now? He's 11?
11.
I think Lou's got 2 more years of hunting in him. That's old. Know. That's old for a dog. People are like, oh, that sounds absolutely terrible to tell Andy his dog's only going to live for a couple more years. I said to hunt. I didn't say Lou might live to be 15 years old.
I doubt it.
I think San Joaquin Honcho was a field trial dog. Honcho was either 17 or 19 when he died. And I'm going to tell you something. I saw him at a field trial with my dad probably the last year or two he was alive. And he was the color of that shin sign right there.
Just white.
Black lab was solid white and gray. Yeah. Just an old man.
I'm going to ride it to the bitter end.
Well.
He's earned it.
I've seen something lately where dogs are living 20, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, your wife's not going to be happy if he goes 25 years.
She'll live.
She'll get over it,
though. She's made it 11.
All right, anyways, back to Hemp Hill Farm, our sponsor. Let me tell you something. I take a gummy every single night, and I go to bed, and I do not sleep good. I go to bed about 11 or 12 o'clock at night, and I wake up at 6:30, 6:15. This morning it was 6:12 when I woke up, and I don't wake up sluggish or tired like I do if I take Tylenol PM.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good 6 hours sleep. Before we get into this podcast, watch two things on Netflix. We watched The Gentleman episode.
Yeah.
With Guy Ritchie.
I've been watching it.
Have you? Mm-hmm. I like it. Where are you at on it now?
Episode 3 or 4. I like the movie.
Oh, there was a movie about that?
Yeah, it's got Matthew McConaughey in it.
Oh, I didn't have to watch the movie. The episode, it's very good. And it's something me and mom would not typically like, but because there's so many twists and turns to it. It's very well done. I thought it was really well done.
The movie's really good.
And the black guy in it reminded me of the black guy from Breaking Bad.
It's because it's the black guy from Breaking Bad.
That is the same fucking dude. I told Michelle, I said, that's the same character.
Yeah.
That is the same guy. I'll be damned. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. The Loco Polo guy
all,
or whatever it was.
All coming together for you.
Good show. And then we watched a movie last night called The Wrong Missy.
Have you seen it, Austin?
Have you seen it? Oh my gosh, hilarious, isn't it?
I'm telling you.
Whenever you did that chuckle, I was like, well, somebody else has seen it.
It's Adam Sandler movie, and he's got all his fucking people in there. The guy with the gouch-eyed, one-eyed fuckers in there,
Steve
too.
Steve Buscemi.
But it is a... No, it's not Steve Buscemi. It's another guy that played in there that got the... In Grown Ups, that took the... whose son was doing all the shit. Doing the triple Lindy off of the swing out
Who's
in the...
Who's he talking about, Austin?
He's talking about, what's the other movie with Bobby Boucher, you know, the guy with the one eye that's all weird and Bobby, you know, that's how he talks.
He plays, he sells ice cream in the Grown Ups when he's running the concession stand.
Yeah.
The old, the guy that you can't understand on Waterboy?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Coach
okay.
O.
Right. Yeah.
But anyways, he's in that movie and Rob Schneider's in the movie. The chick that played in not Freaks and Geeks, with Katie Cuckoo, the hottie. What's that show called?
Big Bang?
Big Bang Theory. The girl that played the guy that owns a comic book store, his girlfriend that worked in there. And
never
I can't remember her name.
Girlfriend.
When you see her, you'll be like, oh, I remember her from Big Bang. But it is fucking hilarious. Michelle started it and she said, I watched 3 minutes of it and I turned it off. She said, Jeff's going to like this show. We fucking laugh so hard. It's fucking great.
The Wrong Missy.
Yeah, it's good, and Adam Sandler's wife's in a lot of the movies people don't realize, so the lady that's competing against David Spade in that show is Adam Sandler's wife.
She's pretty hot, too.
Yeah, she they met on Big Daddy, I read.
Yeah.
That was like one of her roles, and she was a waitress, I think?
She's the Barracuda?
Yep, the Barracuda. Yeah.
That's a fucking great show. I laugh so fucking hard. I never heard of it. But I forgot Adam Sandler made a deal with Netflix to do so many movies. But he's not in this movie. David Spade's the guy in it.
I'm a bet 10 movies.
Is what he's doing with them?
That's what the Illuminati gives you. You get 10 films.
With who?
That's the deal.
So you think Adam Sandler's an Illuminati guy?
If he's got a 10 film deal with Netflix.
Oh, I don't know if he's got a 10 film
deal. That's what Cat Williams would say.
I'm going to tell you what I like about Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler keeps his same people in all his movies.
He's loyal.
He's really loyal to his friends. And thank God Kevin James in it, because I think he's a big oversized fuckhead. Mm. But most of the people on there, I like Rob Schneider a lot. Me and Rob Schneider are very, very much alike politically, for sure, because he is very conservative and anti-government.
I like how he has a lot of the same music on his movies, too, in the 80s, you know, type music.
But that is a funny-ass movie. It's stupid, a lot of parts of it, but it is a really good movie. The last 15 minutes I didn't really care for as much as the first hour and a half, but it is a really, it's one of the better movies Adam Sandler's done, I thought. And I didn't know nothing about the movie. Michelle said, let's go and watch this after we watch The Gentleman. She goes, I'm not tired. It was 10 o'clock, so clicked it on. It was Happy Madison come on. I thought, hell, this is an Adam Sandler movie. And it is fucking great. When they're in that bar scene, when he's on that first blind date, when it first starts.
I
cried. So anyways, I'm not going to tell everybody. With us today.
10
movies? So maybe he's Illuminati then.
10 movie deal with Netflix.
With us from Blackfoot, Idaho. I'm assuming you're the first guest we've had on from Blackfoot, Idaho, if I'm guessing. I'm just going to throw that out there. 900, 1,000 episodes. I mean, we've got Mr. Austin Stewart. Austin, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing today?
Good, good.
How big's Blackfoot, Idaho?
Oh, it's probably, how many is in our town? I think 30,000 people.
Oh, it's a big town then.
Good sized town.
That's a very good sized town.
It feels small town to me compared to moving from Salt Lake area, you know. Pocatello is south of us about a half hour and they're bigger. And then Idaho Falls is even bigger than that. And they're just a half hour north of us. And
are you big enough that you have a Target store?
No, we have a Walmart though. That's about
it. That's all you need.
They got them some bitches everywhere.
That's all you need. So you're close to Snake River then.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like literally a mile from my house.
So it's pretty where you are. It's not like that shithole between Salt Lake and Wendover.
No, heck no.
We were talking about before the podcast started with him. That is the most desolate shithole area I've ever seen in my entire life. There's nothing there. Not even grass don't even grow there.
No, it's pretty rough out there. Not much going on either. It's nothing to do, and it's a rough drive out there.
Yeah, you're.
It makes, you know, it's from Salt Lake in eight, what is it, like two and a half hours, but it makes it feel like an all-day drive.
The only thing that saved me on that drive that kept me entertained was all the stupid artwork shit that people had put in the sand along the interstate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's all kinds of
stuff. Yeah, I think the only attractive thing out there to go see during the summertime is when out on the Bonneville Salt Flats there when they're doing all the high-speed, you know, land record stuff.
That would be interesting. What is the...
How far are you from Yellowstone?
About 2.5 hours.
So you're in Bear Country then, where you live?
Yep. Still have yet to get one, but get time to even go. But yeah.
What... The Salt Lake, is it going dry, or did I read that wrong? Or is it way, way down?
It has been. Up until last year, we went through about 5 years of drought, seemed like, and it was drying up, and then they were really getting worried, and they actually got, like, the church and a lot of farmers that weren't really utilizing their irrigation water as much as they probably needed to kind of help divert water into that to start filling it back up. Because that's a big business. Your Morton Salt comes from there. I mean, there's a big deal there. They were worried about when the wind would kick up, start getting, you know, there's, you know, all sorts of chemicals in that ground when it's dry, and
the air becomes mercury, toxic, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yep. So they were worried about that. But last winter they had record snowfall. We did here too. And I think that made a big difference. I would be willing to bet some of the snow didn't even melt in most places in the mountains there.
So, have you hunted the Great Salt Lake?
I had when I was younger, but I hated going because you had salt in everything when you get back. I mean, you'd have to tear everything apart and wash it. But it's good. It's really good hunting. Really good
hunting. What all's on it? Because I've seen, like, green-winged teal go there, don't they?
Cinnamons,
green-winged till. Every now and again, you'll get lucky and get some sea ducks in there. Pintails, a lot of your diver ducks are out there mainly. And it's shallow. It's pretty crazy how shallow it is. Like that drive between Salt Lake and heading west, when you've got the lake on your right-hand side, when you go by Tooele, you can damn near walk to the island out there.
Wow.
So,
it's shallow.
They kill a lot of, if I'm remembering right, they kill a lot of boot lips there. They kill a lot of pretty ducks. They kill some cinnamons. Am I right on that? They kill cinnamon till there?
Yep, cinnamon till.
Cinnamon, green wing, spoonbills, a lot of shovelers, the pintails.
I love shovelers.
But they can't, is there freshwater lakes around it? Like we have a brine lake here that they've built these rubber dams, they call them, on to keep salt out of the Red River. Is what they were doing. Yeah. There's a couple of them up towards the Panhandle area, and we got one of them north of here. And it's a big lake by standards, but it's so salty you can't do shit in it. I mean, it's really, really getting saltier and saltier, and all the fish have died in it. But the ducks will go there, but then they go to a freshwater lake that's by it to go water. Is that the same there? If you hunt the freshwater around there, you can kill a lot of ducks?
Yep. So they've got Farmington Bay, another right there next to it is Ogden. Willard Bay, there's several freshwater areas right around that lake that you can hunt and get into. But the last, like before I moved up to Idaho, the last few years, it was like, you know, you had to dang near sleep in the parking lot if you wanted to be the first guy out there. And, you know, it was like a race out there in your duck boat. And, you know, it's public land. It is what it is. And sometimes you can help each other depending on how you're set up. And sometimes, you know, you're just shooting ducks passing over. You know, they're just getting shot at like crazy.
Are you a Mormon?
No.
Do the Mormons hunt a lot?
They do. They do, yeah. Yep. And it used to be you could go out on Sunday and, you know, it was pretty bare and you could have your own area. But I think they're starting to realize and break the rules, their own rules a little bit, and hunt on Sundays as well, you know.
Oh, that's part of their religion? So, they don't hunt on Sundays?
They don't do, it's, I don't know, some of them don't, some of them do. I think more than anything, it's a family time thing. And then like Monday nights is their family home evening. And, problem is from what I've gathered is, you know, you start missing church, people start making up rumors,
right?
You know, it's, you know, so like I've got a buddy up here, he's Mormon, but during hunting season, he doesn't matter what day it is, he'll hunt on Sunday. And you know, that's important to him. But it seems like up here, that religion isn't so, it's pretty prevalent up here, but it ain't, they're a little bit more laid back.
Right.
So
it's good. That's the rules though. You plank on Saturday, you hunt on Sunday and don't go to church, and we're going to talk bad about you.
Yeah.
Was that the Mormon? Was it planking? Was it the Mormons?
That's a Mormon or soaking.
No, that's Amish.
It's soaking, isn't it?
It's Amish.
I believe. It's Mormons that were,
it's breaking Amish.
No, it's not either. It's the Mormons. I'm telling you right now, is it planking or
soaking?
Soaking is what they do.
I think it's soaking. And the new one I've heard is bagpiping.
What is that?
I can't wait to hear this. What is that?
Well, they started having a rash of girls coming in with crabs in their armpits.
Oh my God. Jesus. Anything to skirt the rules.
Now I'm thinking about these Sasquatch girls with these fucking hairy ass pits.
Makes it more realistic, Jeff.
Well, that's my thing. It's like, you know what? You're still breaking the rules. Just do it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to go to... I'm not an expert on religion by any chance. Andy's a deacon, not me.
Not a deacon.
But can you imagine sitting between the pearly gates and have to explain that you got freaking crabs in your armpits?
I had armpits.
I've never heard of such. That is freaking awesome.
Well, there's a guy on TikTok. I can't remember what it was called, but one of the other things they're doing now is it's called a naked party. So they don't do anything, but they all stand there, girls on one side, guys on the other. And then they just get naked in front of each other. They don't do anything else. And that's another one that they've mustered up, you know.
God.
Honestly, I think they're the reason why Urban Dictionary's got a lot of things on it.
Crabs
they're making it
in
up.
Your armpits. We had we hunted a Muslim guy, oh, I don't know, 10 years ago or so. And he was from Saudi Arabia. I think he was part of the royal family even. But anyways, he was telling me that, because I asked him, I go, how do you find the hot chicks from the not hot chicks? They got them wearing a fucking tent around everywhere they go. He goes, we've got a room where we can have them disrobe so we can see them naked. And I thought, fucking Muslims are onto something here now.
That's right.
Shit, maybe I'm a little harsh.
Well, I mean, you know, listen, you go pick out a piece of meat at a grocery store, you're gonna do a little bit of window shopping. Just makes sense.
Yeah, you don't ever buy a steak that's in butcher paper. You wouldn't be able to look at it. So I would agree with him on that.
You gotta do it.
Exactly. I'm gonna bring up something here. You won the Powerball, right? Or part of the Powerball?
Yeah. Back in October, I did.
So did you have did you do a quick pick numbers, or did you have certain numbers you played?
I did a quick pick. You know, you can do the 10 lines, and you can do the double play, which I didn't do the double play, but that particular day, I bought it on a Monday. And just, I always do the quick pick. I've read that your odds are better if you do the quick pick instead of pick your own numbers. I don't play it like consistently. Maybe I usually play it when it's up above 800 million or so. And I even felt guilty about buying the ticket that day because money's been tight and we were saving for a new roof. And then I completely forgot about it. The deer hunt was the next day, the opener. So I left it on the seat of my truck. Didn't even look. Usually I'm counting down the minutes to the draw that night, and went hunting and had a good day hunting, and then come back to work Wednesday. And my wife, she's usually like, man, we're never going to win. She'll go to bed before they roll out the new numbers. And she called me that next morning and she's like, hey, did you check that ticket? And she's like, I just have a feeling about it. And so I checked and had her check, and sure enough, $150,000. So I went to the gas station I bought it from, and yeah, if it's over $600, you have to go to their headquarters, which is in Boise. It's about 3.5 hours east or west of me. And sure enough, man, tell you what, you don't realize how paranoid you are today driving across the state with a ticket, even though nobody else knows about it. And we loaded up the family and the dog and got a room that night, and But that particular day, they do, I can't remember what particular dollar amount it is, but they'll do up to a 10 time multiplier until it gets to a certain dollar amount, and then they get rid of that. But it was 3 times multiplier. So I would have won 50, and then with the multiplier, it was 150,000.
Hell of a payday.
Did
what number did you hit? You just hit the Powerball? Is that how it works?
You probably hit 4 numbers in the Powerball.
So I got 4 white. Yeah. I got 4 white numbers and then the Powerball number. So I was 1 number away from $1.5 billion.
But you made
you made
150K. That's all.
You can't look at it as what ifs. Exactly. That's a hell of a hit. Because that guy that won.
If I would have got five whites, it would have been an automatic $2 million.
You won 150K.
The guy who won $3 is like, fuck, I wish I'd won 150. So Habib at 7-Eleven, when you went to see him, was he shocked when you?
Well, yeah, and it was actually at a Maverick gas station in Pocatello, and the girls scanned it, and they just kind of looked at me, and they're like, you won 150 grand, and we were looking it over, double checking, you know, it's just one of those things you don't believe it's real.
Don't touch it.
And it's like 9 o'clock in the morning when all your workers are going in, getting their coffee and their snacks, and they said it out loud, and I'm like, be quiet. Yeah, be quiet. I gotta get out of here.
Right? I got a target on my back, lady.
So it was pretty hard to stay at work all day and wait to just go home. Because I wanted to kind of save my vacation before I took the next day off, obviously, because we were in Boise. But yeah, and then you go in there and they scanned it and then they ask you a bunch of questions and just verify everything and take your picture. And I felt like Happy Gilmore with the big check. Like I asked him if I could keep it. I kept it, took it home.
They do let you keep the big check?
Know. Oh, yeah. 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 Heck yeah.
Now, how much do you lose to taxes?
So, the federal government takes out an automatic 24.8%.
They're the biggest winners in all this.
And then, every time anything fucking happens, they are. Fuck the government.
Yeah, and then Idaho took another 5, so 29.8% total. So I walked away with $105,300.
Damn good payday. Ka-ching. Still got them.
You got your roof paid for.
Roof paid for. Our furnace went out that same week, so I had to put a new furnace in.
God's good, boy.
I don't know what I did right to earn it, but definitely feel pretty humbled. It's pretty
good,
cool.
Good for you. I saw a guy won $3.8 million in the Florida lottery, and they were interviewing him. And this was like in the late 80s or something, because 4 All States had lotteries, Florida did, and he won like $3.8 million. And they interviewed him and said, what are you going to do? He said, well, I can't decide if I'm going to get new tires for the truck or put a roof on the house. You got $3.8 million.
Do both.
Yeah.
Do both.
I think you can afford to do both things.
Did you have like an impulse buy on anything?
My wife doesn't. She's the frugal one in the family. Right. But, you know, there's always something for hunting that I can spend it all on. Been trying to talk her into a new kayak, but decided to go a different route and beef up my kayak and kind of modify it a little bit. Cause I hunt on a kayak a lot up here. It's I sold my duck boat when I moved up here and got into the kayak and the field hunting more.
I wish to hell my wife was frugal. I'm jealous. Andy's got a frugal wife.
Very
you've got frugal. A frugal wife. So it's being frugal. Is that being kind?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we just, so our first years of marriage, we were broke. And
I don't think y'all have ever been broke. You think you were broke. Well, someone that grew up poor, I know what being broke and being poor is. Y'all just didn't have excess, lavish, go to Hawaii money, but y'all always had money.
He's meaning responsible broke.
Responsible.
Like bills are paid, but we don't have money to go do anything
correct,
else.
Correct. Yeah. Very not fun. And so we've recently remodeled our kitchen, and now we're, She's back to the mindset of, hey, we're broke again. So it's going to be a couple of not fun.
Y'all are going to the Bahamas in 2 months.
We're broke, Jeff. We're broke.
Yeah, I mean, you're not broke.
We paid for that before the kitchen remodel. So,
which it looks wonderful. Brett done a hell of a job.
Yeah, it's incredible what you know, the transformation. But had we done the kitchen remodel and then we would not be going to the Bahamas. So, no new shotgun for Andy this year, which I don't ever shoot anyway, but, and I've got enough guns. So,
I don't have any guns. So
you got a safe full of fucking guns.
Some fuckers, somebody stole every one of them. I have zero guns.
Oh, did you file a police report?
Lost them in a boating accident. Yep.
Yeah, in all the water, the water in West Texas. I can only imagine what it's like having that ticket on your console, in your pocket, and then you're driving to the headquarters. To be the most nerve-wracking, because you automatically, my paranoia would be through the roof. I'd be like, they know. I got a tail from the gas station.
How many times you think did you check it between the time you left the gas station and the time you got there? Did you go to the lottery place, or did you spend the night at the hotel first?
We got there too late, so we spent the night at the hotel. And the other thing was my 7-year-old boy, he was running a fever that night. And this is the first night I'd ever traveled with my dog to where she wasn't kenneled up at night. And she did really good. And then my 2-year-old wasn't in his crib type thing. So it was an exciting trip. But yeah, we probably checked that ticket 5 or 6 times.
Did you put it in a Ziploc bag?
Yeah, and that was the other thing.
I knew you would, because that's what I would do. Kind of
writing stuff down on it, you know, and I'm like, don't. You're defacing it, you know, like you read the back of it. And I wanted to laminate it, like, before I left, you know. And then that was the other part is after we got done at the headquarters, we immediately went to find our bank right there in town. And I wanted to go in. She's like, no, just go through the drive-thru. And then I actually was so paranoid that the check was going to get stuck in the tube on the way up.
Oh, yeah. You got to walk that shit in.
I'd be the same way. I've always thought if I won the lottery, first thing I'd do is go home and put that sandwich in a Ziploc bag and then put it in a bank bag and then put it with my gun in my console and then don't tell Michelle and then go.
Yeah, we're just going to Austin.
Yeah. Because she would buy something before we got on the road even. She'd be car shopping. I don't mean shopping for a new car. Well, she'd probably be doing that too, but... She would be doing shopping on the internet the whole way. I'd get there and we'd win $150,000 and I'd be $10,000 in the hole before we ever got to Austin.
But yeah, and that's the thing too, you know, like it's not a lot of money, but to guys like us, it's life changing for me because it ended up getting us to where we felt comfortable. We weren't needing to pinch pennies for a roof. You know, I had a hog hunt scheduled in Texas back the January prior. So like then I wasn't worried about the money I was spending on the trip to get there, you know? And so, yeah, for me, it was life changing. You know, it's funny because you can't remain anonymous in Idaho when you win the lottery. I think if you won the really big ones, they would give you like a week or two to lawyer up and accounting and probably go into hiding because, you know, I didn't think about all this stuff when you win the big one. You got to worry about all these people coming out of the woodwork. But my neighbor was saying, well, you also got to worry about somebody trying to kidnap your kids for ransom. And when he said that, like, it kind of hit me hard. And I was like, well, I don't know if I want to win the big one then, if that's the case, because, you know, I think half of these guys that win the big one, they probably splurge a lot and have the impulse buy whatnot. But I think a lot of them end up going broke because they're probably in litigation so much with people coming after him saying he owed me this and he did this to me. And, you know, they probably just figure, screw it. I'm going to spend it all. So I don't need to worry anymore about all that.
Well, I'm telling you, if I won a big lottery, I love my life. So I don't think I would change my life at all here at the lodge, but tough. I'm telling you February 1st till August 31st, we would have a portable studio somewhere else.
Yeah, but you'd have to beef up security at your house.
Oh, I would build me a new house in the country.
With gates and stuff? It'd have to be gated. If you won the big one and you won $1.2 billion with a B, I mean, you're especially like our town's 1,200 people. Our community, I mean, it's not only that. I mean, you got to think about everybody that's going to come from the neighboring cities whenever they find out somebody from Knox City won $1.2 billion, because you know then the rumors start flying. Oh, they keep it in a safe, they keep it under their mattress or whatever. So you're just a target.
Well, I would build me a new house out in the country just so I'd have a better security fortress plan. Well, I don't know if before, but I would have a new deal like that. Mom, I don't want to leave the house. I don't want to unpack it. Our house would be the same way it is now. We just buy new shit for the new one, and we go get something out of the old one if we want it. Because I ain't fucking with that shit. That's going to be y'all's problem when we die.
Not only are you a target, but now I'm a target. Your grandchildren are a target.
Well, our grandchildren, we're going to be somewhere in Maine or somewhere in the summertime.
But it doesn't matter.
With a bunch of other rich fucks.
If somebody calls you and says, hey, grandchild B got taken, we want $3 million.
I don't know about all that.
You don't know about all that.
How many Hollywood stars do you see getting their fucking kids kidnapped?
They got a security detail.
No, we're not on their people all the time. Hell, fucking Obama's daughters are fucking going to school at UCLA or USC or what? Well,
she's got a Secret Service detail behind her.
For the life? Why?
Yes.
Why? She wasn't president.
Her dad was.
I don't know about all that. I don't think that George Bush's daughters still have Secret Service detail.
I'll look it up.
I mean, to me, that's a waste of fucking taxpayers' money. Who wants some little bitches anyways?
What do they call? It's not spouse. It's not siblings.
Daughters.
Yeah, but there's a word.
Child. Offspring.
Okay. That's what I'll look for.
But I just don't, I would not, I'm not that worried about shit. I don't imagine why anybody want to jack with me. But if I had $1 billion, you wouldn't have to worry about coming to get me somewhere. You'd have to be right where you can find me. Because I would spend half of my year, I would be other than, but see, I'd have to be at Throckmorton or Haskell or Knox City for my grandkids' ball games. Because I'm not going to change who I am on that kind of deal. Right. I would be a fucking asshole, I'm sure. I would help a lot of people. If I won the lottery, I would set up some trust to help people. I would fix it where all the kids in my area could go to college and not have to worry about having to pay for it. I would do a lot of things to help people, but yep. I'm also a selfish prick and would do shit I like to do. And I'm not worried about getting kidnapped. That kind of stuff doesn't bother me.
You can do all that stuff within, you know, reason. Yes. But you got to make sure you and your family and your kids and your grandkids can benefit off of it and be comfortable as well, you know. But like me and my buddies talk about it all the time. What we do if we won the big one, you know. And I'd obviously retire my mom, retire my dad, my in-laws, my brother-in-law, help him out, you know.
You'd be a good person.
Just help out. You know, the family, yeah. I mean, I hate to sound selfish, but I would have certain people that deserve it in my life that I would help out. And even friends, you know, I don't want to go have all this fun hunting by myself if I win all the money. So some of my friends, I'd be like, hey, we're going on a trip. I'll pay
for
it.
Yeah, I'd be a great friend to have. There's no doubt about it in that way. But I also ain't buying into that 30-year-old, oh, I ain't seen you in 30 years, man. We were best buddies. Fuck off, buddy. I ain't seen you in 30 years. I don't know you nothing. The sucky thing in the whole deal is you want $150,000 and the government got $25,000 basically of it. You think about that guy that won $100 million, how much the government's getting out of that deal. Mm-hmm. They're getting $25 million to not do a fucking thing like the government always does. So our politicians can piss it off somewhere else. You think about the tax dollars raised per day in our country, and we're broke. It's just fucking amazing to me. We're not broke because other places wouldn't loan us fucking money if we were broke.
Right, exactly. Well, that's the thing. Like the 5% that went to Idaho, I think that's great because Idaho puts, I think, all, if I'm not sure, but a majority of it, if not all of what they take from you when you win, into the school systems. Yeah. And I think that's great. That's fine with me, you know. But yeah, the other 24.8%, it's like, I don't know where it went.
Do y'all get money, Andy, from the school, from the lottery commission? Do y'all get a check from them, or does it just come from the Texas General Fund?
I think it just comes from the general. I don't think we get anything from...
Because that was a big push when they put lotteries in Texas is, oh, it's going to fund schools. Our schools ain't never been so fucking broke ever as they are now. That's all you heard about when they were trying to pass it was the schools... We'll give the schools all this extra money, blah, blah. Well, I don't know where it's going to. It has to be staying in Austin because it's not going to the small schools or the big schools.
Seeing like Utahns, I mean, between Wendover, Nevada and Malad City, Idaho, which is right on the border of Utah coming up my way, those guys make so much money off of Utahns because they can't gamble in Utah. You know, it's illegal to even have a, you know, like a Super Bowl board if somebody found out about it and really wanted to come after you. So, you know, I wish they would have a lottery in Utah. I think they'd, you know, they'd do well with it because I'm not kidding you. The majority of Utahns come up to, they either go to Evanston, Wyoming, Malad, Idaho, or Wendover to do their gambling or buy Powerball tickets or scratch off tickets.
I think it's a great thing that states have rights. because Utah is a Mormon state. I mean, it's basically, I don't know what the demographics are, but over half the people that live in Utah are Mormons. Is that pretty correct?
Yeah, and the county I was from was even more prevalent with Mormons and whatnot. But, you know, and they're fine. I mean, I've got family that's LDS Mormon, and they're fine. It's the ones that, you know, are judgmental that I can't stand. But I think any religion gets those type of people in them anyway. It's just in Utah, it's all about the Mormon religion and the way they act, because that's the majority of it. But a lot of my neighbors were LDS and they were fine. They kind of just stuck to themselves, to be honest, you know. And it's funny because when you move into a town or a neighborhood that's, you know, got a lot of Mormons, the first thing they do is come over and introduce themselves, and then they ask you if you are LDS, a lot of them, and they'll bring food over. But once they find out you're not LDS, you usually don't see them again.
See, that's my point, though, is that Utah is made up predominantly of Mormons, so they should be able to have the lifestyle they want to have, and it's no gambling. Right. No drinking or whatever they have. I don't know if Mormons drink or not, but that's their religion. They're right. Texas, California, as fucked up as California is, the majority of people, they're liberals, and they ought to have their fucking, you know, if they want to give abortions to 3-year-old kids, that's California. If you don't like it, move. And that's one thing. That's one thing I like about our country is Texas is they're really pushing now. The big rumor is they're wanting to build a big casino in Dallas. The guy that owns the Mavericks is the guy that owns the Venetian. I believe Sheldon Adelson bought the Mavericks. He's a big Trump guy. He wants to build a casino in Dallas. Well, I don't think it's fair for Dallas to be able to put casinos in without it being everywhere in the state of Texas.
Right.
I think if you're going to pass it for Texas, it should be good statewide. Well, I can't imagine the Indians in Oklahoma are going to be lobbying the hell out of that to end that, because Windstar will go away. Mm-hmm. And it's the biggest casino in the world is on the Texas-Oklahoma border between Oklahoma City and Dallas. I think it's 2 miles long. It's huge. Well, it's bigger than the MGM Grand in Vegas. If they do that, they'll be out of business. So I think Texas eventually will get gambling. We have, and we may not ever. I don't know. But and it don't matter to me. I just wish the hell Oklahoma closed their casinos and moved them farther away. That way I wouldn't even go. Because if it was just another hour, I would never hardly go. It'd be almost too far to drive to. Let's talk about Austin, the taxidermist, now, because we've gotten way off track here.
Oh, so I looked it up. Secret Service, kids get it until they're 16. Former first children.
So the Obama kids don't have any. Okay, so why the fuck are you going to mess with a fat guy that won $1 billion in Texas when you could go get them little gals?
Sure.
I mean, that'd be a lot more to get out of them than anything. But you get Big Mike on your ass then.
Presidents get it. Presidents and their spouses get it a lifetime. Former presidents, if they choose, VP gets it for an additional 6 months after they leave.
Yeah, I saw when Mitt Romney ran for president in 2012, maybe, it showed him like 2 days after gassing up his car in Utah. He was in Salt Lake City getting gas at a gas pump. Went from being a president to nobody gives two shits about you.
Romney?
Yeah.
He was president?
He ran for president.
Oh.
Right. No, I mean, if he would have won the election, he would have been having in Secret Service detail. He was pumping gas in his car by himself.
Right.
Which I'm surprised he can drive, because most of them suckers can't do shit like that anymore. When's the last time you think Donald Trump drove himself?
30 years ago, 40 years ago.
I don't know.
Maybe in the 80s?
George W., there's a good story about George W., and I'm not a George W. guy. I think he's a sellout deep stater, but When he got elected president, he has got a ranch in Crawford, Texas, and they wouldn't let his neighbor had a helicopter. He flew a Robinson helicopter, and they wouldn't let him fly it no more. And they said it's a no fly zone. The president, blah blah blah. He was bitching at the Secret Service. I've been here my whole life. That guy bought a ranch 10 years ago. Now I can't fly my helicopter. George W. got in his pickup and drove over to talk to the guy one on one.
Really?
Drove right through the fucking gate. As president of the United States, didn't seek Secret Service or nothing with him. He said, I'm good. I drive this road all the fucking time when I was governor. I was going to go down here and talk to my neighbor. Drove in, talked to him, and fixed it where the guy could fly his helicopter, which I thought was really nice of him.
Yeah.
Anyways, Austin, you are a taxidermist in Idaho. Do you do ducks, geese, big game? What's your specialty?
When I was in Utah, I had a buddy from South Carolina come out and show me how to do birds and worked on them, but they're just not my thing. He hates big game or, you know, all your mammals. He'd rather do birds, and he can whip out, you know, three in a day, and it's good money in it if you're doing that. But it just wasn't for me. I like the big game. So I do, you know, like your North American stuff, your mule deer, whitetail, moose, buffalo, elk, your smaller stuff, coyotes, this and that. Since I've moved up here, it's been hard to kind of get back into the swing of it with working another job as well. And I did that in Utah also. I've also added two more kids to my family. And so I feel guilty when I go out there and work, when I come home from work and my wife's been home with the kids all day. And, but I enjoy doing it. It's definitely, something I never, when I was younger, thought I'd see myself doing. I actually got into it, because my mother-in-law was thinking about going to taxidermy school. She loves all the taxidermy mounts and stuff all around the house. And so I started looking into it, and I went to a 2-week school. They had a 5-week one in Montana, but I was like, I can't take that much work off. And the 2-week one, I was able to swing it with my work schedule and do it in the evenings and, you know, do it until about 10 o'clock at night and then go home. And tell you what though, the school, it gets you excited about it. You learn some basics, but I've learned some other taxidermists along the way, tips and tricks. And cause there's a few times I'd right out of school, like I'm ready to go, you know, and I'd take on a mount and then I'd get into it and I'm like, wait, what am I forgetting here? You know, and taxidermy can be scary because it's not like you're building something and you can just tear it apart.
Right.
And fix it again. Like if you screw it up, you're done. Like it's somebody's memory. It's not something else. So, I enjoy it. I've got a buddy here in town that moved from Utah as well. And he does it full time. He's got quite the deal going. He's an amazing taxidermist. And, he told me when I was starting out in it, he said, you need to get thick skin right away because you're never going to make everybody happy. And that's hard. That's a hard one to grasp because I don't do it as much as he does. So I think I get attached to everyone that goes out the door more than he does. It's just, he don't even look at the racks on them anymore type thing. But me, I'm still over here like, oh, hell yeah. You know, this is awesome, you know? And so, yeah, I enjoy it. It's good.
What's the hardest animal you've done?
I tell you what, I don't like doing mule deer. I don't know why. I'd rather do an elk. They are bigger. There's a lot more work involved, but my elk always just not to, you know, brag it up, but my elk always come out looking good to me anyway. And I just stare at my deer and I, you know, I guess as long as the customer's happy, that's one thing, but then you got other eyes looking at it when people come over to their house. And mule deer for me are hard. They say antelope's harder. Antelope's another one of my strong suits. Buffalo are easy to me. There's not a lot to them. They're big, but there's not a lot to them when it comes to putting them together and the details that go into them.
What about the small varmints? Like I saw a black coyote that had been ran over, and I really, really, really thought about going and trying to pick it up to get mounted because I've always wanted to get a coyote mounted. I've never had one. Want one with a duck in its mouth. And I always thought it would be really cool, but I saw a black coyote, which I'd never seen one before because they're pretty rare.
They are. Yep. Smaller varmints are tougher to do in some aspects. Like on a deer, you can use the real nose and do all your putty work inside the nostrils and keep the real nose. But on like your mountain lions, even your bears, like you might as well just, you just cut the nose off, the real nose, and you get an artificial one in and throw it in, and then it takes away a lot of your work that you would have to sit there and fight and do. Coyotes are awesome. I love doing coyote mounts.
Do that. Is there like a mold that you would do for the coyote? Like how do you shape the head?
Yep. So when you get the hide all tanned, you take certain measurements, like from the front of the nose to the front of the eye, and then you do a circumference around the neck, circumference around the belly, and then you do one from about the neck back to right with the base of the tail. And then after that, depending on what pose, you know, the customer wants, whether it's like jumping after a chucker or pheasant or just standing there growling. Then after that, you apply those measurements and you go in and you find one that's going to fit that mold. And I learned my lesson early on that too. You always go 2 inches smaller on what your measurements are, or else it's you're fighting it. And then you end up tearing the hide back off, and you're trying to thin the form down in those spots. And when you get them that tight, the hair won't lay right either. That's the other problem, right? Is when you're snugging them on that tight, you're just not going to make it look as good as you could if you go those 2 inches less.
Is it just because that hide gets tan and does it shrink?
It does shrink, yes. And if it's thinned good enough, less cartilage, less hide, the less shrinkage you'll get and the less pull. Mm-hmm. So once, like, I just mounted a deer Wednesday, so it's been in the baby sitting phase where I put a bag on its head at night, so I don't have to worry about it drying too quick. And then I'll go out, check in the morning before work, and then put a bag on its head again while I'm at work. And then in the evenings when I'm home, I'll pull it off, because like your tear ducts on a deer or an elk, as it starts to dry, those tear ducts will open up. Mm-hmm. Or like you push the eyelids against the glass and that'll start to pull away from the glass. And I mean, we have ways to fix that, but this new hide glue they've got out, well, they've had out for a little while now. It's amazing, because you could actually go out there and wrap that deer or whatever you're mounting if you wanted to fix it and soaked paper towels and bag it. And the next day it's like you were just mounting it the day before, like it's ready to move things around and do what you need to do.
Now, I've heard turkeys are an absolute nightmare, especially turkeys that are like full fan or full strut.
Yeah. Yep. I've done one, and that buddy that was teaching me birds, he'll do them just upside down. Mm-hmm. And that way the gravity will help everything fan out. But they're a nightmare. I have huge respect for guys who do turkeys, but I think most of your bird taxidermists, just from the pages I'm follow on Facebook and this and that, or going to these taxidermy competitions, their biggest one they can't stand is doing swans. And I've done a swan, and they're a nightmare.
Really? Why?
Yeah. Just because they're greasy. Oh. I mean, you run them on the fleshing wheel, and you'll have, you know, a pile of grease, you know, 8 inches tall, this big round sitting on the table at the end of it. And they're just big and bulky and hard to deal with. And then their wings are so long and heavy. I mean, you really got to beef that thing up and stuff to get everything to look right. They're just a nightmare. Heavier gauge wire and all that.
I've never seen a swan up close in person. I've seen different swans mounted, but their feathers.
You had one land in your decoys once.
Yeah, but I didn't walk up to it and inspect it.
Oh, okay.
But like any swan that we have a swan mounted out here, and if you did this one, I'm not throwing shade at you. It's just like the feathers don't look right. They look clumpy. Like it doesn't look smooth. But
that's
I don't know.
It's not a really good mount.
But I don't know if a swan in nature, like, has kind of like, does it make sense? Like the feathers, they're not smooth, but I don't know if a swan's feathers are smooth. Like maybe they're clumpy whenever they're alive and well. I don't know. I've never inspected a swan. But this, like, it looks like clouds almost on it, if that makes sense.
On the top of its body or on the belly? Bottom?
On the belly.
Yeah. So on the belly, they'll do that sometimes. And then on their wings, they have some feathers that kind of drop down a little bit. They don't stay up.
Right.
But
we when we went to NWTF last month, me and my wife were walking through, and you know they do the turkey mount competition, and I was like, you have no idea how much work went into making that turkey look as good as it does right now. Like, because it was a full strut bird, and it's like, you know, like you gotta, if you're not hanging, I've never heard of the hanging it upside down, but I've talked to taxidermists that do a full strut, and it's like ever so many hours throughout the night, you got to go in and you got to comb those feathers up. Otherwise they're just going to lay down. It's like, it is not an easy task.
Hold on just a moment before we get in. Did you see the bronze they had there of the mama hen with the little, with her wings out,
yeah,
with the
really
babies?
Cool.
That is a really cool. They've had that 2 years in a row. That's one of my favorite bronzes. Yeah. So it's a mama turkey with her wings out and all her babies are under, like, in
she's
the rain
sitting on a log
with, like, trying to protect them from the rain. And I always thought that's a really it's cool the way that, because I'm sure it really happens.
Yeah, there's a picture of it.
Oh, there's a real picture of that? Yeah. That's an awesome bronze.
I don't know if it's of that bronze, right. But yeah, I've seen pictures but where.
That's a really cool deal, and motherhood is amazing. So
that's another thing about swans, too. Like, once you get them all skinned and degreased with the fleshing wheel, same thing with any other bird. You'll take it in. You'll get, you know, some decently warm water running, and then you just start scrubbing it down with Dawn dish soap to degrease it, and let it soak for, you know, an hour in Dawn dish soap, and then you wring it out. Try to get all that grease out, because the problem is the swan's white, and if you don't get all the grease out, it's going to turn yellow down the road. And I question my buddy's tactics, but I think it's an old school thing. And I thought we were going to degrease this thing, you know, and in my utility sink with dish soap. And he's like, no, we need to go get one of those feed tubs and fill it with gasoline. And then we let it soak in gasoline overnight. So my whole backyard reeks of like a gas station. Oh. And then, you know, I'm scared to bring it in my shop because of the fumes. And sure enough, the fumes went out of it and it didn't stink, but holy crap. Like I don't think I could ever do that again.
So you soak the whole skin in gas, like unleaded gasoline overnight.
Yep. Just unleaded gasoline. Just soak it in there
and pull it out and let it dry.
Yep.
That's crazy. I wonder who thought of that. I bet the first guy that did that shit's like, fuck it. I'm just going to try this. This is a degreaser. And then it worked. And like, some bitch, that works. Because a lot of old mounts that I've seen around the lodge, you know, we've had a lodge for 30 years, basically. And I've noticed a lot of the older mounts I've replaced over the years because they start cracking or splitting, or you'll start seeing them turn yellow in some places. And some were done by really good taxidermists, and they just, a leg or something fucks up, and they just.
Yeah, that's sadly, you know, a lot of guys like just straight European mounts of stuff anymore nowadays because it costs less to get done. It's easier to transport or store or whatever, and they essentially, unless you drop and break it, they're not going to start to fall apart. I mean, we try to make these things last forever. But they're just not going to, especially if they're near a window where the sun can get in. I mean, you're done.
Most of my mounts stay in a dark room unless it's hunting season and the lights are on. The off season, all the shades are pulled and where it stays dark. I find interesting is when you go to a place, an older place or a museum, and you see mounts that are 100, 150 years old. Yeah. You're like, wow, that's, you know, that was a damn good taxidermist for back in the day. There's some places I've been in the western states where they've got, there's a bull moose in, or a bull elk in Crested Butte, Colorado, that's at a gas station there. And it's like supposed to be the eighth largest bull elk ever at the time, was the largest in the world. That son of a bitch is huge. Well, hell, it was mounted in 1930s, I think. You know, that's almost 100 years old. I'm going to have to look it up because I know I misspoke on how old it is, but I saw it in the 80s, and it was old then.
Yeah, back then, you know, they didn't have these forms that come with pretty much a lot of the detail. We still add a lot of detail in them, you know, like your veins and your clay and your muscles and all that. And if they got their head turned, you got the wrinkles in the neck. They don't come with that, but back in the day, I mean, they were doing it with just, they build a wood frame, and then they just started using paper mache and cardboard, all these crazy things. And so it fascinates me to see a lot of the older stuff too, as well, when you go into a small town and that thing's got cobwebs hanging on it, you know, but it's, you know, it was mounted 100 years ago or so. And it's impressive to me that they were able to do something like that.
Yeah.
Back then, you know, cause right now, I mean, we've got all the tools in the world and it's only going to get better. And you know, besides some of the detail, they look pretty dang good.
The elk in Crested Butte was shot in 1899. Now they may have taken the horns and put a new cape on it. They could have done that. I don't know. Right. But it's 1899, so it's 125 years old.
I have had to do that too, where they wanted it remounted. It was their grandfather's, and you got to find the right cape for it, you know, and I've had to do that. Another thing I think is interesting about taxidermy that makes me wonder how they figured it out is, supposedly every animal out there, the brain is just big enough to tan the whole hide on every animal. So it's called a brain tan.
Yeah.
makes me wonder, and I know the Indians, you know, the natives, that's probably where it came from, but it makes me wonder, like, how the hell did you guys figure that out?
You talking about the brain matter?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I watched.
Pull the brain matter out of the skull and spread it over the hide, and it tans it.
Yeah, we had Tom, what was his name? Tom Brennan, the guy that's on Mountain Men, the old man Tom. We had him on the podcast a couple of years ago, and he had, he tans, and that's what he used the brain matter to wash it out. And I think that was a come down from the Indians, how they tanned the hides. You know, those squaws, yep. I don't know if you can say squaws these days, but that's what they were called, with squaws. They used to chew the hides with their teeth to break down the sinew in them. And that's how it made them soft. That's why they didn't have no damn teeth. You didn't know that, Andy?
It's crazy.
That's why the Indian ladies were all gummers.
Because they just worked their teeth down, gumming the hide?
Yeah, they would chew on the hides all day long to break them down. Look the shit up. You always want to argue with me.
I don't buy that that's why they lost their teeth. That would strengthen their teeth.
Huh?
Yes.
To chew on hide all day long?
Yeah.
I think you're crazy.
You just work. That's why our ancestors had such great teeth.
It's you never went to orthodontic school like I did.
It's because they chewed uncooked meat.
Well, they didn't. So their they jaw, didn't gnaw on a fucking elk hide or a beaver hide all day long.
So their jaws were impressively big.
What was the Indians were smart people. Here's where we screwed up. The Indian men hunted and fished all the time, and fought, and had sex all the time. The women cooked, cleaned, moved shit around, did all the work.
Yep.
And
they were nesters.
And the Indian men were smart enough to keep them home chewing on beaver all day long, so they couldn't talk to them all night. So they were kind of quiet at nighttime. Pretty good system, if you ask me. We screwed that all up.
Well, it was all hands on deck just to survive.
Yeah, it'd be a terrible. Wouldn't no grocery store to go to if you ran out of something.
No. Like everybody had a role, and everybody had to execute their role, or you were not going to make it from year to year.
There were so many cool things that the Indian did, like the brain and all that stuff. And you know, it was, they figured it out by accident, had to have, but there, so many things. But then there's so many things about the Indians that amaze me, because they never invented a wheel. They were still dragging shit around. If North America was still here today and we'd never been here in 2023, the Indians would still be dragging people around behind on sticks behind a horse.
I bet they'd have figured it out.
Well, they were pretty late to the party when they did.
I mean, I agree with that.
There was not much industrial age with Mexicans, with the Indians. But it's amazing the stuff that we do learn from them that they were so ingenious about.
Mm-hmm.
Like the obsidian, is that what they call that rock?
Yeah.
You know, they could break, that was like a scalpel.
Yeah. Super sharp.
Yep.
Well, and what's the, what do they use? I've seen some guy on TikTok and he'll do everything from start to finish, just like right in front of you. What's the, they melt something down for it to, for the blade to stick to the...
An adhesive?
Yeah, I can't remember what it is.
Probably some kind of sap from a tree.
I think it's
probably pine sap.
Yeah, I think it is pine sap. They boil it and get it really, really hot, and it creates like a paste, and then they get a notch in the stick and then put that obsidian in there, and then it's like pine tar, basically.
You know, there was a bigger market for maple sugar than maple syrup at one time.
Really?
You had to boil the syrup past the syrup point till it become a sugar. You know, someone did that by accident, wasn't paying attention to the deal. Someone's like, "You, by God, you're gonna eat that shit regardless. You ruined it." And I'm like, "Oh, it's pretty good." But yeah, maple sugar was a thing at one time.
We did that in Costa Rica. They put sugar cane in there, you work it out, and then you basically have sugar water. We obviously didn't stick around for making refined sugar, but we drank the sugar water.
So they boil the sugar cane?
Yeah, I think they get that water, the juice that comes from it. It basically like goes into a wheel. It's got two wheels that, you know, you got this much clearance through there, and you just work that sugar cane through there on a, you know, you just work it through there, and then all the liquid drips into whatever vessel is going to catch it, and then they boil it off, and you get.
And that's where you get your grains. Sugar at.
Yeah, you get the grains. Yep. It's not going to be white, but, you know, that's got to go through another bleaching process, but you'll have raw sugar.
You know, we were getting way off again. The settlers, when they had sugar back in the early days, like the 1700s, they didn't have granulated sugar like we had. It came in a big stick. It was hard as a rock, and they'd have to grind it like you do. You ever seen nutmeg that you actually grind? Yeah. That's how they had to get their sugar, too. That's why people were skinny, too. They worked all day long. It was too fucking hard to have sugar.
Way too hard to get sugar.
Yeah, like, fuck that. I'll take my tea plain. So what have you done a badger before?
Yes, I've done a badger as well. Don't like skinning them. Those things stink. Oh my gosh. Same thing with raccoons.
They seem greasy also, both of those.
Yeah. I mean, when you skin them out, then you flesh them. Beavers are, oh my gosh, they are loaded with grease. Yeah. Like I actually started, I never skinned one before, and I got one from a buddy down in southern Utah, where my dad lives, and started skinning it out, and I called my taxidermist buddy over here and like, hey, like Mike, I'm wearing, you know, gloves and stuff. I'm like, I can't do this. I'm like, can I pay you extra if your guy do it? You know, like, I just don't want to do it. Like, I don't want to know how to do it. It's just a mess. But I guess all the wood handles on my knives, my skinning knives, are good to go. Right. Although they're preserved for a while. Yeah. But
so, do you get to do much waterfowl hunting with your taxidermy business and your regular job?
Yeah, that's like I say, that's kind of the sad part. Since I've moved up here, waterfowl hunting has always been my favorite thing to do. And from, you know, the first October to mid-January, I'm hunting at least one day a week, every weekend. My wife probably regrets letting me move up here, because I used to, when I lived in Utah, I'd go hunt down in southern Utah, down by Bryce Canyon where my dad lives. And, you know, you didn't get a lot of chances to decoy them in. I really grew up doing a lot of more jump mm-hmm. shooting. And the geese was like a freaking once in a great while lucky deal that you'd see them down where my dad lives. And so moving up here, you know, I meet my buddies, my chiropractor, and he was nice enough to inject me into all the hunting around here. And me and him, you know, we're together every weekend, and we talk almost every day, and we're scouting every evening after work. And we really kind of gotten into our own little deal, and we got another buddy that hunts with us too. And so now, instead of being gone for a weekend, like I was in Utah hunting for a weekend, you know, at least I'm home by noon, you know, and then she's kind of like, here you go. Here's the kids. Have fun. Right. You know?
Yeah.
So,
what's the hunting like where you are now? Is it creeks and rivers, or is there field hunting where you are?
There's field hunting. There's creeks and rivers. We've got a little spot on the river where we float our kayaks, and we'll float like decoys behind us in our ice fishing sled. And I've got my dog on the back. We'll paddle out and, set up, and you get some wood ducks, golden eyes, mallards, pintails, shovelers, widgeon, lots of geese. But the field hunting is my favorite, and it was always my dream, you know, to hunt mallards over corn. And the last 2 years I've got to hunt here, we've got a couple of cornfields that we get to hunt. And I mean, you got geese and mallards coming in, and that was pretty cool to cross that off the bucket list.
Is it, do they leave anything standing for you, or is that at the time of the year where they chop everything?
They chop everything. Depending on the farmer in the field, they'll leave it, you know, waist high or more. Some of them, they chop it and till it in. And sometimes you'll get to hunt it before they till it in, and then the next time they till it in. And then the worst times is when they go out with their, they've got like a dairy right nearby, and they go out there and clean out all the shit, and then they go spread it out in the fields. And I've got a weak stomach in the morning, and my buddy laughs. Every morning I get out of the truck, I'm dry heaving for the first 10 minutes. But the geese seem to love it. I don't know why.
We hunted standing corn in Ontario with St. Lawrence River, with St. Lawrence Outfitters. Freaking insane. They'll go a couple rows back, and that's where you sit. And the hide
easy
was
hide.
Unmatched. I mean, you walk in, it's done, you put a chair down, and then they ran 5 dozen decoys, 6 dozen one day. I started, you know, putting decoys out, and evidently I was putting too many out, so they had to
Slow your roll there, buddy.
Had to rein me in. Like, listen, it's early in the season. I don't need to be throwing both bags out yet. But I understand that. But yeah, it was just, I've never hunted that way before. It was ridiculous. It was such a good hide. Such a good hide.
It was a beautiful place too. Gosh, I'm mad. You guys that live up north are so blessed, and y'all don't even know it, I think. I mean, we talked about this before he was on air. When you go from Salt Lake City, when you get out of the mountains in the western states, it's all a shithole. There ain't no difference between Pierre, South Dakota, Wendover, Nevada, Bakersfield, California, or Knox City, Texas. There ain't shit there.
Well, it's really considered just even the mountains here. I mean, we're still considered just a high desert. Yeah. You know, you get up in the mountains and there's sagebrush up there too. Sagebrush, quakies, and pines. And yeah, we're just a high desert. So, I mean, if you drive 10 minutes west of my house, you go, I mean, before you hit another beautiful area and mountains, it's all lava rock and sagebrush. Yeah,
Wyoming is the ugliest and prettiest state in the United States.
It's windy there too.
Fucking a shithole. I mean, I'm not talking about the towns. I'm talking about that. If someone dropped your ass out of a fucking plane and said, you got to live here and you know, for the next 10 years, you better hope to hell them winds can carry you up to Yellowstone where it's pretty. You might get eaten by a grizzly bear, but it's pretty. Yeah. But the rest of that state is, it's either absolutely beautiful Wyoming or they ought to put an enema in the son of a bitch. And it's the same way in West Texas, same way in South Dakota. But it's so rugged and beautiful in some places, but man, Montana, I'm sure, has some places that aren't so pretty. South of Plentywood, Montana is not a lot to look at next to North Dakota, but it's a beautiful, beautiful state. But
yeah, my brother-in-law lives in Dillon, Montana, about 3 hours north of me, and that's a pretty town. Problem is with, you know, these beautiful towns, they're either too expensive because everybody wants to live there, or there's no work there. You know, you've already kind of had to been grandfathered in, it seems like, to do well and live in an area like that.
I saw where Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Did we talk about this on the podcast the other day? Steamboat Springs, Colorado is trying to hire what's the HR department? What that's called? Human resources department for the city. Starting out at $160,000 a year. They had people apply for it. The three people they tried to hire all turned the job down because they can't afford to live there. They can't find anybody to go live in Steamboat Springs and make $160,000 a year. Now, $160,000 a year is not going to put you in Beverly Hills, but $160,000 a year is a good living, and you ought to be able to live anywhere in the United States and be able to afford a house. Not in Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
Not in today's society.
Not in Lake Tahoe, California, because we talked about that when we were out there. That was one of their problems, is they can't get help to work anywhere. But that is a real issue in the western, in those little towns in the western states. They're picturesque, beautiful places because all them liberal fuckers from California are buying it all up. And the prices are rising everywhere.
I couldn't afford to move back to Utah if I wanted to now and have what I have. That was one of the other things, you know, is we sold in a high market. We were on a quarter acre lot there, but there, our high there is closer to the low up here where I'm at. So I was able, you know, to go from a quarter acre lot to moving up here and getting a little over an acre and having a shop, you know, that I can utilize more and work out of. And, but I just seen a thing the other day that Utah, California, and Hawaii are now the top three most, unaffordable places to live.
I've never been to Hawaii. I don't have any inkling to go there.
Well, they said like a Big Mac in Hawaii is like $18 or something like that. Like, that's just ungodly.
That's anywhere. Now, did you see that Five Guys deal? A guy bought a cheeseburger at Five Guys, French fries, and a large shake. It was $25 for one guy.
Yeah, but they've lunch. Five Guys has always been on the top tier of expensive hamburger joints.
And while we're talking hamburgers, I'm going to switch it up. Bingo. Did you see the list in Forbes or one of the magazines of the top 20 hamburgers in the United States? Where do you think In-N-Out Burger was?
Probably five.
Four.
15 or 16.
Really?
It was right below Culver's.
Okay.
Whataburger was 11.
Okay.
McDonald's was 8. Who the fuck thinks McDonald's has a good hamburger?
Well,
just convenience and price, probably. Their statistics are going off of that.
Quarter pounders are good.
They're not as good as any of them other places' burgers.
They're good.
They're not a damn top. They're not ahead of In-N-Out, Whataburger, or Culver's.
I think McDonald's has the best fries.
I'm not going to argue fries at all because they have really good fries. I like Chick-fil-A's because I like their waffle fries.
And I thought it was cool on our way back from Texas hog hunting back in January when we went through New Mexico because we stopped and seen Fort Sumner, you know, where Billy the Kid's grave.
Allegedly.
Andy trashes that town, but yes, I agree with you 100%.
That's another shithole, isn't it? It's not very good. It's not a pretty place.
Yeah. It's not a pretty place, no. And then, but when you go to McDonald's in New Mexico, you can order
green chili, a bit.
chilies on your hamburger. Yeah. And that's part of the menu. And so my uncle's like, yeah, you got to try this. Because he got to see a lot of stuff down there in Texas and New Mexico. Because he had a boy who had a rodeo scholarship down there. So he traveled down there a lot to Texas. And so he was kind of our guide on that trip on our way there. Because we left a day and a half early. It was me and my dad and my uncles and some friends. And so we were able to see a lot of things on the way there. Texas is pretty cool. I've always wanted to go. We were over in Anson. Yeah. I don't know.
South of us.
30 minutes.
Go through there all the time.
45 minutes south of us. Anson, yeah. Texas. Not named after Anson Jones. I just found out. So Jackson Hole, Wyoming has, according to Forbes, a burger joint that is in the top 10. McPhail's Burgers in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
That's not very far from me. You got to go check it out.
But there's no fast food burgers on here. Like, these are all mom and pop.
McDonald's was on there.
I'm not finding that. Coyote Bluff Cafe in Amarillo.
I might have been on something besides Forbes. Is another thing I picked off the internet. I'm fact checking Andy today. January 2021. If you bought a house, and it don't say how much the house was, your payments on a 3% loan was $1,300 a month. People can afford $1,300 a month to buy a home. Today, it's $2,100 a month.
What are you fact-checking me about?
You told me the other day that young people can't afford to buy housing.
Yeah, they can't.
You could, though, in 2020. You told me the other day, I don't understand what Trump coming in office, how that's going to make a difference. That shows a big difference right there. You could afford to buy a house when Donald Trump was in business, when he was in office. But you can't afford to today.
See, interest rates are killing.
And he will fix a bunch of that. That's one of the good things.
You just proved my point. I'm not talking about when Trump was in office.
You told me the other day, what good would it do if he come in office? How would he fix anything? That's the way he can fix some things.
How?
Home payments. When he was in office, you could buy a home at $1,300 a month, a three-bedroom affordable home for a family. Today, it's $2,200. People can't afford the $2,200. They could afford $1,300.
But the economy's good now. Or was good then.
And the economy will get back better when he's in office. It will be better again. That's that whole argument. Oh. That's the whole thing. I've took some pictures every once in a while. I see something. I thought, I'm going to bring this up with Andy. There's another one I had too that was an interesting fact. Since we're talking facts,
you're not discrediting anything that I said. You're proving my point.
Earth's population is 7.8 billion people.
Right.
11% live in Europe. 60% live in Asia. 49% of the people in the world live in villages, 51% in cities. Which language do you think is the most spoken language in the country, in the world?
What's the question? What the fuck does this have to do with Mountain of Buffalo?
It don't, but we're talking about other things. What do you think the number one language spoken worldwide is?
I'm going to say Spanish.
What do you think, Austin?
English.
Nope. Chinese. 12% of the people in the world speak Chinese. 5% Spanish. 3% Arabic.
Well, so that's, I wasn't crazy. That wrong.
I wouldn't have never guessed.
75%, 87% of the people in the world have clean water. 13% don't. 75% of the people have mobile phones. 25% don't. 7% of the people received higher education. 93% of the people never went to college or university in this country.
I believe that.
What's the number one religion?
Islamic.
No, Christians still 33%, but the Muslims are catching us quick.
Huh. Interesting.
26% of the people in the world live to be less than 14. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, I knew that.
That must be really wiped out in Africa and South America to have a lot of deaths. Anyways, that was just some more fun facts there.
We appreciate your fun facts.
Jeff. Yeah.
Fun facts with Jeff. It's going to be a new segment on here.
So where you live at in Idaho, are y'all being overran from people from California coming there buying everything up?
I think a little bit. I think they don't even like Utahns moving up here either.
Everybody's an outcast.
And I get it, because the problem is you get a whole rash of people moving up here, buying these homes at a higher price than what they paid. And then it raises their property taxes up. And I'd say the Californians that are moving up here, at least in our area, they're the ones that don't want to live like that anymore. They don't want to be governed like that anymore. They want to live this lifestyle. Down where my dad lives, he kind of lives more in a tourist town. He's getting those ones that are moving in that want to, you know, change things to the way they left. And they don't like the smell of cows and cow shit and driving over cow shit when they drive up the dirt road to their house. And, you know, those are the ones that are a problem. You know, it's like, you know, you move out to the country, you got to deal with all the smells and this and that go along with it. You know, I would take being stuck behind a tractor, heading down to his next field all day long, or cattle that they're moving down the road. I'll take that all day long over a traffic jam, right, and drive around with a bunch of other ornery people. But yeah, I think for the most part, the Californians that we've got up here, they're good. They're good. Everyone that I've met. And it's funny because Idaho's pretty vigilant towards that. And I've seen like a rental car where they put a sticker on the back and said, and it had California plates and it said, "I'm not from California. This is a rental." You know, like, so, and I think the biggest thing is they hate seeing them up on the mountain during hunt season. That's the biggest pet peeve.
Yeah. It all makes sense. Things are changing. Well, listen, man, this has been a lot of fun. Congratulations on your big win. It sounds like, you know, you're not going to blow it all on a fast car or anything like that. So we appreciate you hopping on here with us and talking about your big win, talking about your taxidermy and everything you got going on there in Idaho. So if somebody wants to get some work done from you, I'm going to name your business Powerball Taxidermy. So, you know, there you go. Free, you know.
Perfect. Yeah.
Free representation. How can they get a hold of you if they want to send something up to you?
Just look me up on Facebook and message me, whether you go under Austin Stewart or on Instagram as well. It's Black Pine Taxidermy.
Powerball Taxidermy sounds better.
Might have to change it. Change the slogan. My wife actually she went to college to be a mortician. Oh. And she's got her degree in that, and mortician and a funeral director. So I've always joked around and said you can drop your mother-in-law off and your deer at the same time.
One-stop shop. Death entered your family, and we got you covered. Well, yep. Listen, Austin, you take care of yourself up there. Keep doing what you're doing. And congratulations on your big win, my friend.
Yep. All right. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah,
thank you.
If you're ever back in this neck of the woods, you know, give us a shout.
I will for
all
sure.
Right, bud. Take care of yourself.
Thanks.
God bless and thank you, bud.
Bye. So
before we get off here,
hold on, Mr. Fun Fact.
I got a question for you though too. Okay. So go ahead. You go yours first.
No, it just carried over with what you were saying. So child mortality in 1800. Oh fuck! I should have taken that off. I was gonna make you guess first. Now you've already seen it.
Right, go ahead. I didn't even look anyways.
What's your guess on?
Well, I saw the graph was from way high to way low. So
okay, what's your guess on the percentage of children that never reached their fifth birthday in 1800?
Probably a third of them.
Almost 50%.
No shit. I know it was bad.
46.
In the 1800s?
In 1800.
Yeah, flu. Could you imagine the things that your children have had if they didn't have modern medicine?
Yeah, Reese wouldn't be here for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 1800. This is out of 1,000. So 462 out of 1,000. And then it drops.
I wonder
off
what the spike was. What kind of, I wonder if that was the Spanish flu.
Probably 1880. I'd
probably
have to look
if
it up.
I was guessing.
And then we had another, 1920.
That might have been
Spanish flu right there.
1800 could have been any kind of flu or some kind of the plague or some shit.
Right. That might have been the bubonic plague.
Is that the United States, though. This was worldwide.
I can look up worldwide. Probably.
Because I promise you in the worldwide, because some of them other places have such a deal. What do you think's going on? Oh, well, we're going to talk about a couple of things real quick.
So it's about the same. It's actually lower worldwide.
Well, it should be with UNICEF and all them places that give money, not the Red Cross, a bunch of thieving
But
bastards.
I mean, you got to think about it. There was not a whole lot of difference in third world countries and America in 1800.
No, we were a third world country. We just a little bit more modernized, but not much. We had a little more law and order.
Right. But I mean, there was not a big distinction between America after the American Revolution in, you know,
that graph.
The late 1700s, early 1800s, and the rest of the world. Like, everybody was pretty much on par with one another.
Yeah, the World War II changed a lot of that because you had a lot of those European countries. I'm sure lots of kids died during the war. tons because all collateral damage.
You know, one thing about the gentleman that I really like, I like the pomp and circumstance around English living, like the tea and all that stuff.
I have tea. I had tea this morning.
That Jeff character, you know, he's out patrolling the land and he's like, well, I usually take a cup of tea about this time of day.
I think that's pretty much English tradition at 3 o'clock. I think they do that today.
Right.
Me and mom were watching.
But that's just interesting. I didn't know they put milk in their tea. I'm
not a cream guy. Somebody Feed Phil, which is one of our favorite shows with Phil Rosenthal on Netflix. And he goes to Scotland. Mom's all in on Scotland now.
Yeah.
And then they stop and do their tea every day. And it's a lot of traditions. Yeah, I don't understand.
Not pomp and circumstance. It's a tradition.
I don't understand how the royal family gets a free pass on everything, though, still. To this woke world we live in, how they get a free pass on shit. Mm-hmm. I just don't get into the celebrity-ness and all the queen stuff. And they're just a rich fucking blue blood family that's robbed and pillaged the whole world. And they're still living off of the funds of it today.
That's
more than being born into it. I mean, they haven't ever accomplished anything.
I think you would like Peaky Blinders.
I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it. What do you think? I'm going to give a prediction here. I read an old comment, the old memories of mine on Facebook today. And boy, I called some of that shit happened during the COVID deal. I had some of that shit pretty right, and I was wrong on a few things too. But I'm telling you right now, if you go to the Dominican Republic on vacation, you're a fucking fool today. If you're going to Punta Cana, yes, they're right. Just an imaginary line between the two places.
Right.
There's no way in hell I'd go to the Dominican right now.
Well,
Haiti's fixing to explode.
Sounds like it could.
I think a lot of the pedophilia shit is all starting to come to a head, and all this, the Clinton Foundation and all that shit. And all this deep state stuff, they're losing it little by little.
I don't know about that.
Well, I do. They're going to start eating their own pretty fast. Pretty damn fast.
Kind of a bad analogy for your Haiti topic.
What?
Because there's cannibal groups running around.
That guy's name's Barbecue. I don't know if he's a cannibal.
That's the headline. Cannibal groups are terrorizing Haiti.
I don't know.
Fucking here we go again, Jeff.
I'm not disagreeing on it, so we're not arguing on this. I just don't think that's what's going on. I mean, if you go to fucking Haiti, you've lost your damn mind anyways. But Haiti is a perfect example of the Clintons and deep state getting involved, George Soros, all that money raised, where the fuck did it go to?
A cannibal gang and its barbecue leader. India Today. Cannibalism trial that shook Haiti.
The guy that's called Barbecue, though, his mom owned a barbecue shop. You tell me you were eating humans there?
Haiti has ascended into chaos, and its prime minister had resigned. A game leader projected himself, most powerful person, burning people alive.
And maybe they deserved it.
Maybe. Sounds like they might just be cleaning their own. I don't know.
I think that's what's going on. They finally have had enough of it. For 10 freaking years or 20 years, however long ago that shit happened, all that money raised for stuff, and that place is worse off than it was before the freaking,
amid the rise of barbecue, a video has emerged that shows a member of the cannibal gang eating human body parts.
Well, you can watch Pornhub and see that.
The video on X shows a Haitian man tearing flesh from the leg of a burning corpse and eating it.
Oh.
So,
see, that's what scares me. For me,
89-7.
See, that scares me bad. For me personally,
well, you're dead
because I'm oversized.
Point. Oh,
I'm gonna be a target. A skinny guy, nobody wants to eat the skinny guy.
But when we went to the Dominican, I mean, Haiti was already a shithole.
It's gotten a lot worse though.
I'm not debating that.
I'm just saying, if you go down there, you're taking a chance at that imaginary line as people's gonna get them going.
Sure. So here is LA Times top 10 burger.
Okay. I started to screenshot because I was busy.
A&W at 11.
I don't think I've ever had their burger.
Shake Shack, Smash Burger. I've never had a Smash Burger.
Neither one of those.
Five Guys.
I've had Five Guys. It was all right.
Culver's.
Very good.
Whataburger.
It's good.
In-N-Out at number 5.
Yeah.
McDonald's at 4. Ugh. Freddy's Frozen Custards and Steak Burgers at 3.
Those are good.
Phenomenal. Carl's Jr. Can't say I've ever had one.
I had it when it was Hardee's.
And Fat Burger.
Never had a Fat Burger.
Never had a Fat Burger.
It's
I think
LA
that's
deal.
Pretty regional, so I don't know how that... But it's written by the LA Times, so I mean, do we really expect anything different? I'm surprised In-N-Out wasn't higher, being that this was an LA Times article.
Well, In-N-Out's not a liberal place, so they don't like them probably. I'm not a big fan of thick burgers.
Right.
I want my patties to be real thin and lots of cheese.
That's why Freddy's is so good.
Freddy's is freaking awesome. I think Freddy's is my favorite hamburger joint there is now.
It's good.
They have a really good hamburger. I did not know it was a Wichita, Kansas plane. What else? Fact check. What else is a famous franchise started in Wichita, Kansas? Food place.
KFC.
Pizza Hut. Is a KFC.
See?
Not KFC. KFC's Kentucky.
Go to McDonald's. You got to get the quarter pounder with cheese. It's all fresh meat.
I'm just not a big McDonald's guy.
You don't have to be.
Their fries are very good and their chicken nuggets are good. There's that picture.
There's your hand.
That's the same. That's that bronze is of that picture.
Oh, it might be, yeah.
That's a really cool picture, though. I like that. It shows motherhood at its best. We'll touch for all the people that don't like football. We're going to talk football for a second. What do you think about free agency real quick? I thought Saquon going to Philadelphia was huge, and I think he'll be the number one fantasy running back this year.
I don't understand the running back shuffle.
DeAndre Swift went to the Bears.
I mean, it's just you basically like.
Well, I think the Philadelphia upgraded from Swift to Saquon. I think that's an upgrade for them.
Paying more money.
It cost them more money. There's no doubt about it. The Giants signed Devin Singletary. They saved $30 million there.
Right.
I think $30 million can go to a lot of things.
I just don't think that there's a whole lot of
difference
between Saquon and DeAndre. I mean, obviously, I just don't think it's worth the extra price tag.
I think some running backs are transformational. What's the word I'm looking for here?
Yeah.
I thought Austin Ekeler in his prime was.
He's a commander now, isn't he?
Yeah. Which I don't, it ain't going to make no difference. I got that Robinson kid. He's a running back committee guy. He's got paid $5 million a year, good living. Saquon is one of those guys. I thought Zeke's first 3 or 4 years before they ran him to death, I thought he was one of those guys that's got that burst of speed that's strong enough. Who am I forgetting about that's a good running back this last year? Oh, Nick Chubb is one of those guys when he's healthy. But there's just not a lot of the guys that are over the top backs. They're good backs. Derrick Henry in his prime was. Derrick Henry's not in his prime no more. Derrick Henry's going to sign with the Cowboys probably, and he probably will run for 1,000 yards, but he can't catch the fucking ball. So I don't understand what the big, you know, I'd rather have him as a goal line back.
Right. I don't understand.
Aaron Jones, I don't understand that move.
Green Bay got Josh Jacobs. I mean.
He's 3 years younger.
Oh.
And in running backs, that's a big deal.
I guess.
The money's not much difference, though.
Right.
And I think Aaron Jones will do good. I think that the kid that went to – who went to the Texans?
This year?
Yeah, who the Texans signed as running back?
I have no idea.
They signed somebody as a running back. No. I know what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking about Bijan Robinson. With Kirk Cousins, if they use Bijan Robinson like they did Dalvin Cook, Bijan Robinson, who I thought would be really good last year, I don't think they used him right.
Yeah.
Would do really good. I didn't understand the Cowboys or Tennessee signing Tony Pollard. I did not think he was that good at Dallas. I think when he got hurt really affected his career. I don't know who's winning free agency. I thought that.
I don't really think anybody has.
Carolina's lost.
Buffalo's lost.
I mean, for Carolina to give up Christian McCaffrey 2 years ago and Brian Burns, their best defensive player in the NFL, debatably he's a top five guy, and to not even get a first-round draft pick back is stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised Justin Fields hadn't been traded yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, surely they're going to trade him before the draft.
You'd figure. But
I'm ready for football.
Yeah, it'll be good when it gets here.
I'm so ready for all that to go
on. You can watch the UFL.
Not interested at all.
Not at all. It doesn't
excite me. There's no reason to watch it.
Because nobody likes football in the spring, Jeff.
I'm with you 100% there. I'm ready for it to start, but right now I don't want to. I like the NFL expanding by another game. I like that deal, and it looks like that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the Super Bowl probably will be played the last week of February.
Yep.
So I am glad about that. All right, anything else going on? We got Coyote Man in office, or in office, in studio on Friday. That podcast will come out the next following Monday. And what else we got? Anything?
That's it. That's all I can think of right now.
Got Ashley Barta on tomorrow. Talk shop, Lady Hunter. God bless y'all. Have a great day.
Love you. Bye. Watch for those deer. Check out our sponsors. Go check out Shin Gear, Looking Glass Podcast, Lucky Duck, Ducks Unlimited, Double T British Kennels, Mallard Bay, Mossberg, Stanfield Outfitters, Alpha Outdoor Specialties, Hemp Hill Farm, use the promo code BHP, Dirty Duck Coffee, Dive Bomb Industries, Pacific Calls, BHP25 is the promo code there, Boss Shot Shells, and MLR Graphics.